This is In the Mix with Marie and Rochelle. Here's Marie Osborne.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rochelle.
Happy Thanksgiving.
A little early anyway.
I love Thanksgiving all year round.
I do too, because it's certainly a great time to be, most important, grateful, right? We're going to talk about that on
today's
right. show. I loved an article that I saw. You wrote it back on December 26th of 2008. I think that was your publishing
date. Oh, I know what that is.
the infamous turducken.
Let me just say this. Anybody who wants a reason why your children should not go online, this is one of them. My daughter said, I want us to have a turducken for Thanksgiving. And I said, a tur what? I just knew this was made up. She went and got the computer, showed me. And I said, well, we can do this. Well, of course, the recipe that I found called for you to go and buy these things and take out all the bones and flat. It's a chicken inside a duck inside a turkey. I got a turkey, I got a chicken, I got a duck, and I did all of that deboning and flattening out, and then you put these wonderful stuffings in it and you wrap it up and it makes this, you know, casserole. Well, little did I know that you could just order a daggone
turducken. That was the funniest part of the call
from somewhere. Oh, my Lord.
When you found out, you were horrified that you could order this. We're going to put this online, by the way, so you'll be able to
so people can see what I did.
Page.
They laugh for years, so they'll just laugh again.
I just so love the column. And what a great experience, though. I mean, that's going to be something you and your daughter will. Is that about sharing your life experience forever,
right? You have something you can use forever. This is not what I want. I made that turducken. Okay, this is fine.
Absolutely. And you know, our Thanksgiving story that we always love to tell, we shame my husband all the time about this story. This was like 20-some years ago, and that becomes important to the story. 25 years ago, I'd say. We decided one year we were going to, because that was when free range was, you know, just coming about and all the rage. So we went to a very small market in Birmingham to buy this free range turkey, and we ordered it. We had, you know, 25 people for dinner, so it was a big bird. I don't remember how many pounds. Big bird. Buy this. Oh, we're all excited about making the free-range turkey, blah, blah, blah. That turkey ran $78 for the turkey.
God.
And at the time, I mean, you got to think about that 25 years ago. His mother will not let us live that down, that we spent $78 on a turkey when, you know,
God.
You could have bought it for cents on the pound. But it was a delicious bird. But
you have to have the happy memories.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was any better than our other birds, really, that we'd had other years.
I'm just not a turkey aficionado. If it's a turkey, I don't care where it came from or what it's going to do. As long as it doesn't explode, I'm going to use that.
Well, today's show, conversation you care about, all about Thanksgiving.
Come back to In the Mix.
In the Mix with Marie and Rochelle is sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health.
I love this line from Winnie the Pooh's series. A.A. Milne wrote, Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. And we're going to talk about gratitude in our Thanksgiving theme here with Reverend John Considine, the inspirational speaker and coach at the Spiritual Life Center. Good morning, Reverend.
Hi, how are you today?
Hi, John.
Wonderful.
Great.
You know, Marie and I, we know how blessed we are. So we have, you know, gratitude moments all the time. Thank God this happened, or we're grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to find out as we sort of embrace this theme of Thanksgiving is whether people are still giving thanks for the things that happened to them. Are we losing our sense of being really happy about our lives and what we get and what we have?
I hope not. If we do, we're really missing out. Gratitude is not just something, Marie and Rochelle, that we feel when something happens, but it's actually a muscle that we can use for our own success and our own happiness. And so I teach people that one of the most important things you can do every day is make sure you're happy. Get yourself happy. And one of the greatest ways to do that is through Thanksgiving and through gratitude.
I love that.
We're getting a bumper sticker made.
There you go.
Gratitude is a muscle. That you use for your own success. Right, John? That's what you said?
Yes, that's true. And there's a wonderful, I did a series of talks on a book called The Happiness Advantage by Harvard psychologist Sean Achor. Achor. I recommend the book. It's just excellent. And he talks about a lot of the stuff. Now, this is just not woo-woo stuff. Understand that, Rochelle and Marie. It's Harvard, Penn, and a number of other universities which have schools of positive psychology have done studies which show that if you'll take time every day to get happy, to make yourself grateful, and gratitude, but I keep interchanging happiness and gratitude, I apologize. But the one leads to the other. Mm-hmm. Focusing, you know, just for a few minutes on gratitude each and every morning will get your day off in the right direction. And people who are happy and optimistic through the use of gratitude, they tend to see opportunities in the day, in the business day, that other people totally miss. Somebody who is optimistic and grateful will see opportunities along the way that other people who are either neutral or just kind of cruising through their day don't even see. There was a great study done at the University of Hertfordshire in England, in the UK. And it's chronicled in a great book called The Lux Factor, which I heard about on NPR. I hope it's okay to say NPR on
WJ. Yeah, it's quite all right.
Yeah. And I went out and bought the book, and I devoured it. It was a fantastic study. And it's a little lengthy to go into now, but the bottom line is that they were able to prove that people who see themselves as fortunate, people who see themselves as blessed, people who are grateful, they just see things that others don't see, things that are really there that others don't see.
That's amazing. I mean, that means you're living a whole different kind of life, you know, when you're open to these things. Marie?
Yeah, I had a question, John, and that is, you know, we increasingly see these surveys that show we are becoming a secular society.
Yes.
Where we don't go to church, we don't pray, people don't go to church, they don't pray, whatever. And I wonder, do you...
Now you're trying to bring my happiness down, right?
No. But it actually...
There'll be some optimism on the end.
I just wonder why we've come to this place to remind people, because, you know, part of praying is being grateful. At least that's what I was always taught, is to be grateful. And I think, is that why we've kind of moved away from being grateful, even on Thanksgiving? Instead of being grateful, we're thinking about Black Friday? Is that what it's all about?
Well, you know, I don't know. These are questions that I know a lot of ministers of all faiths and denominations scratch their head over. I just bumped into a minister of a very different denomination than my own at Sam's Ferndale Grill the other day, and we were bemoaning the fact that people stopped going to church on Sunday. But with the causes for that, I don't know. That could be a whole series of shows because there's 1,000 different theories about that. But I know we've tended to slip into a very, you know, commercial society. And I got nothing against shopping and all that, but we do tend to focus upon, we have our priorities backwards. If we'll put the spiritual first, then everything else will be revealed. All the good stuff will come. You know, just take that time for meditation in the morning, whether you go to church or not. Take time for you and God, or the God of your being, whatever you call it. Like this wonderful rabbi I heard one time say, "Oh God of many names and all the nations of the world."
Mm-hmm.
I love that. It's so heartwarming. "Oh God of many names and all the nations of the world." Boy, fabulous. And whatever your higher power is, take time and be grateful and speak and commune with that power, and then go to your business day. I tell people, you know, at the Spiritual Life Center out here in Royal Oak, I tell people, listen, you know, your business day, you know, we tend to begin it. I asked them the other day, how do you begin your business day? And a bunch of them shouted out, coffee. I said, that's right. And the second thing you start off is you go into some positive affirmations of your blessings for at least 2 or 3 minutes.
Now,
and then you pick up the phone. Then do you go to work.
I love that idea. So I have to ask you, is it the kind of thing that you think should be said out loud or make a list or just, you know, take a moment to reflect on what's there?
Good question. Really excellent question. Sean Acorn, the Happiness Advantage, talked about the Tetris effect. Now, do you remember the Tetris game, the video game?
Yes.
Okay, so there's something in psychology, it's the positive psychologists call the Tetris effect. You recall that in the game, in the Tetris video game, there are squares moving down the screen, correct?
Yes.
And if you play it over and over again, you'll continue to see those squares for about an hour or two afterwards.
Oh.
They're imprinted on your eyeball, and that's called the Tetris effect. Now, in psychology, if you're playing, air traffic controllers who are constantly looking for danger, they will look for danger in the rest of their lives as well because they're 10 hours a day looking. CPA, this is funny. The accountants will be looking for who's doing what wrong, or quality control people will be looking for who's doing what wrong in the company. And after, you know, months of doing that, well, this one CPA actually prepared a spreadsheet for his wife on all the things that she had done wrong over the past 6 weeks. You know, and that's the Tetris.
Well, John, I have to ask you, is their divorce final?
Or... Right.
Well, you know what? They've given us much to munch on here.
Yes, absolutely.
I am going to...
Along with the turkey leg.
That's right. Yeah. Some of the words that you have given us, particularly the ones we're going to put on the T-shirt, will have a Tetris effect for us. And we've got to run because it's time for us to talk with some people again.
I have a list for tips on gratitude at my website, spiritualdetroit.com. Go to Tips for Happiness and you can read all about it.
Well, we'll link to that on our Facebook page in the Mix WJR, and we'll tweet about it at in the Mix WJR.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you so much, John.
I'm very grateful for you.
We are grateful for you as well.
No, I've still got a lot of fight left in me.
So, Rochelle, now begins the big shopping event of the year, right?
You know,
after Thanksgiving.
It is totally a big deal, and I hate that it happens so early, unless I get to go to someplace wonderful.
Have we got someplace for you to go.
Thank you, Marie.
All right, Small Business Saturday, November 28th. We didn't want to do a whole Thanksgiving show without bringing in, of course, you know, the topic of shopping, although we wanted to stay away from Black Friday. So, we brought in Rachel Lutz. She's one of our favorite small business owners.
Yay, oh, you guys are so sweet.
Owner of the Peacock Room, as well as Frida in Detroit, in the Park Shelton building. Rachel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so you gave us a little thumbnail sketch of the two stores. So describe them for our listeners.
Sure. So the Peacock Room and Frida, they're both women's apparel shops, although we do have a small men's haberdashery. The Peacock Room is, you know, kind of retro, vintage inspired. Think Audrey Hepburn or the kit. And Frida is more like fun, bold, colorful, like Frida Kahlo. She actually lived in the building where my shops are, so we named the shop after her.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very.
You can't get that type of wonderful, great feeling, you know, in a huge department store. No offense to all, I won't name any.
But
I would rather shop someplace where I can get something that's one of a kind, that is unique, you know, instead of doing that. Talk a little bit about what makes the cut when you're ready to put something in Frida or the Peacock Room?
That is a very great question. And ironically, we try to model ourselves after some well-known department stores, but think more like Jacobson's and Hudson's.
There you go.
I still pine for Jacobson's. Stop.
Didn't you have, you know, salespeople that assisted you in finding the right thing?
Instead of looking at you like, why are you here? Or not looking at you at all.
I can't wait to take my break. Come on, lady, get past the cashier already. So, really what we try to do is bring together special things. So, you know, back in the day, the buyers for Hudson's and, you know, Hughes and Hatcher and Jacobson's, they really went to the corners of the earth to find interesting things, to find compelling things. And I do not buy a single thing from my shop without seeing and feeling it in person, because that's how you shop when you're in a boutique. You can't tell, you know, how much sway a skirt has by looking at it on Amazon.com. You can't tell how much sparkle in a rhinestone or the heft of a necklace by looking at it on a website. So we really do try to, you know, make it a tactile, sensual experience. You know, we have wonderful perfumes and hand creams that, you know, people love to smell. We have, you know, dazzling light displays. And I really think that those experiences in person make boutique shopping so much fun. You don't have the buzzing fluorescence overhead. You don't have, you know, those giant aisles with the giant carts that you have to push. It's really more of, it's literally a hand-picked experience.
And when we talk about small business, it's Small Business Saturday, November 28th. That is what we're talking about, is that if you want that kind of shopping experience, that and there are places like yours, really, maybe not just like you, that's what makes you unique, but there are places like yours, Ferndale, Birmingham, Royal Oak, Berkeley, I mean, they're
everywhere.
Eastside, Westside, Ann Arbor, I mean, they're all over. So the push is to really get into some of these shops. Can we talk a little bit more, though, about the selection that you have? Because the last time I was in the store, it was jam-packed with stuff, and you said, oh, more is coming!
Yeah.
More is coming. So, and you also have an array of sizes, so talk to us a little bit about that and some of the cool stuff that you have in there.
Sure. We try to make our environment welcoming to all people. So we have sizes 00 to 26. I've had three generations of women come in my shop and each of them find a dress that they like.
Oh, that's awesome.
You know what? It drives me crazy when someone, you know, who's maybe a woman in like her 50s, her 60s, she sees a really beautiful dress and she goes, I'm too old to wear this.
Oh.
And we don't put up with that. We
Good
will
for
say,
you.
You know, sometimes I'll even be, I'm terrible. I'll be sarcastic and say, you know what? I think we have some burlap potato sacks in the back room. Is that what you think you deserve to wear? So we usually like to get a laugh going and then we have discussions and that's really what it's about. It's, you know, we have so much, we as women have so many issues around our bodies and around fit. And it's really frustrating sometimes clothing shopping. It's a hard experience for many of us. And what we try to do is make it fun and personal. And we will actually hand pick from the racks. So if we, you know, we'll ask you what size you normally wear, we'll kind of, you know, eyeball your body and we know what works on who. So we will definitely try to, you know, really match make the right thing. But really we carry all price points. We have earrings for $6.95 to $125. We have dresses that range from $45 to ball gowns for almost $400.
Wow. So wow. Something for everything.
Exactly.
What about women who, you know, the husband, well, I don't know what to get her for Christmas. So I know that sometimes these lost souls come into your shop.
I am not exaggerating. Nearly every man who walks in the shop between Thanksgiving and Christmas, they walk in, they stand at the threshold by the door, they have this look on their face.
What do I do now?
Yeah. And we always say, you know, like, hi, how are you today? Hi, I'm fine. And then there's this kind of awkward pause. And then they'll almost always say, I don't know what I'm here for. I just know I'm supposed to be here. So we know that he's been sent by the woman in his life that, you know, said, I don't care what you get, but it has to be from the peacock room. And it's really gratifying to hear those types of compliments.
That is fantastic. A big compliment, isn't it?
Now, let's go back to the beginning. What made you decide to do it and why in the Park Shelton? Why in the heart of the Midtown Detroit?
Well, I am a fourth-generation Detroit business owner, fourth-generation Detroit resident.
Yes.
And I moved into the city in 98 when I moved from Huntington Woods from my parents' house. And I felt that there was just no other place I wanted to have a business. And when I moved into the city, I really try to keep my money local. I try to do everything as local as I can. I think it keeps your economic dollars circulating more robustly when you spend it with your neighbors. So the one thing that I felt I really had to leave to get more options for was apparel and accessories. We have some really great boutiques in Detroit. We have many along the Avenue of Fashion. We have in my own neighborhood, we have Flow Boutique and the Black Dress. And I really felt like fashion is such a personalized thing that I wanted more. And I thought, I think that my neighbors want more. Ironically, I thought that I was opening my shop for Detroiters, but I would say probably about half of our traffic comes from the suburbs where they have plenty of shopping options, but they don't have anything like we have at the Park Shelton. It's really a unique collection of shops.
That's fantastic.
And how do you just talk a little bit about you're young and there's a lot
Why,
of young.
Thank you.
Yes, you are. There are a lot of other young entrepreneurs like yourself mm-hmm. striking out and doing this kind of thing. And then you've got places like John Varvatos too, you mm-hmm. know, and Shinola and, you know, all of that kind of, they're all kind of mixing it up.
They are mixing it up. We need those luxury retailers. We need them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, cheers to folks who, you know, attracted them here. Cheers to the city for attracting them itself. Will Leather Goods just opened in Midtown. If you have not been, man, that is not a store. That is an experience
on
Second Street.
It has a TP in it? Did you hear about that?
It does. It's really inspired design. They have a lot of fabrics from all over the world salvaged. I bought a bag made out of wool from Guatemala and leather. So Mr. Adler actually is from Detroit. He was a Wayne State graduate, moved out to Hollywood, lost his job, and now he's a master retailer. So these luxury stores that are coming in, I do understand the flack that they're taking because, you know, you look at the average Detroiter, and the average Detroiter finds it very difficult to afford luxury goods. That being said, those stores are attracting luxury customers to our areas. We, as small businesses, are seeing the impact, but also we do need to do a better job of attracting retail businesses that are also fulfilling basic retail needs, mm-hmm. not just luxury wants. So if you're out there listening, Target and Trader Joe's.
And CVS and all the others.
Well, right. We've got some CVS's,
right.
But we love... you know, Detroiters need basic stuff, you know, other than Meijer, where do you buy a set of sheets or a pillow? So I think that it's great that a lot of these small businesses and entrepreneurs are stepping up and filling in those retail needs alongside those luxury retailers.
Well, I want a Bed Bath & Beyond in my backyard, but but there are those types of things that are going on. I want you to talk a little bit more about your customers. You know, just give us a quick bite on who do you hang out with? Who comes regularly? Because I know people who, they say the Peacock Room like it's church. I'm going to the Peacock Room. Would you like to go with me? Well, let me, you know, grab my Bible and put on a coat.
I have the best customers in the world.
You do.
I have to pinch myself sometimes. I feel so lucky. My customers treat it like it's a shrine when they walk in. We know who's walking in for the first time because they walk in the door of the Peacock Room and there's this small gasp and their eyes get wide and we always say like, oh, is this your first time here?
I'm home.
Yes.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Exactly. It's like we may as well have a river of chocolate flowing through the store. No, my customers are amazing. They know that they not only get a really unique product when they walk in and they're not going to dress like everyone else in town, but they also know the economic impact of shopping small. Yeah. For every dollar that you spend, and I hope that people whip out their pens and paper right now, for every dollar that you spend, 62 cents stays in the local economy if you shop in an independently owned local store. 62 cents.
That's awesome.
If you shop at a big box store locally, like if you go to the CVS or Bed Bath & Beyond, 38 cents returns to your local economy.
Mm.
Big difference. And if you shop online or through catalog, less than 1% of your dollar stays in your local economy.
And also going back to what you said at the very beginning, you don't see the swing of the skirt. You don't feel the fabric, the weight of the piece of jewelry you might be
buying. No wonder people hate shopping nowadays. It's really turned into this bland, you know, senseless experience where you just click or you just, you know, look at the same stuff over and over again. So I really do feel like my customers appreciate what we do and we deeply appreciate them.
Well, that's such a great message, not only for Small Business Saturday, but for small business and chic business year round.
Absolutely.
I can tell you, as someone who does do a little bit of shopping online, I might order Burt's Bees because I know what that feels like. But I ordered a dress from some company, and it literally showed up, and it's made out of paper. It is.
Oh my!
The fabric is so thin that I may as well be going out nude. And I thought I should have gone, you know, to some place where I could feel the fabric.
Right.
You know, that's what you were saying a minute ago, a felt experience. Mm-hmm. I don't want a sensory experience. I want a felt experience. I want to run my hands on it, and I want to touch it.
You want a pleasurable experience. Shopping used to be a pleasurable experience, and that's what boutique owners are trying to do for you as their customers.
Sounds wonderful. Rachel Lutz, thank you so much for joining us. We hope nothing but good things for you, not just in the future, but Small Business Saturday, November 28th.
November 28th. Don't miss it.
Thank you so much for having me.
In the Mix with Marie and Rochelle. Here's Marie Osborne.
Now, Rochelle, I'm not sure what you're planning for Thanksgiving, but, you know, it's always a big production for a lot of people. And then there are folks who just have either one or two folks over, right?
It doesn't matter what I was planning. I've now looked at the Nino Salvaggio site, and this is what I'm doing for Thanksgiving.
All right, Pete Lauren's joining us. He's the executive chef and director of culinary development at Nino Salvaggio International Market. Hi, Pete.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great.
We're fantastic, and we both are foodies, so oh my God.
I love foodies.
Oh, wow.
So, all right, so let's talk about some of the traditional things for Thanksgiving before we get into some of the other ideas. Let's talk about tradition. Are the fresh turkeys better than a frozen turkey? What are your thoughts on that?
Generally, they are. And that's what we sell at Nino's, of course, is a fresh Amish turkey. And the reason being is that when you buy a frozen turkey, when it's thawed, just the way physics work, the cells that are full of water inside the turkey tend to explode when they expand, which is why ice cubes get bigger in your freezer. And then when they thaw, they kind of leak out like a balloon that had air let out of it. And so you get that all that liquid in the bottom of your bag when you take the turkey out, and you wonder where that come from. Well, it came from the actual meat in the turkey. So a fresh turkey doesn't get frozen. Therefore, the meat has all that juice right in it.
Well, we're having roast beef now. One of the things that I love to ask chefs is whether you eat the way other people eat. Do you do a traditional Thanksgiving, or do you do some wow, fantastic alternative thing?
You know, honestly, Thanksgiving isn't the time to experiment, you know.
Oh, good advice.
To your point, people love tradition. And because they love tradition, they're looking forward to just the stuffing they had when they were a kid. They're looking forward to a pumpkin pie, those things they look forward to all year long. So I try to stick with traditions, and then I'll throw a couple of things in that'll be kind of fun. And if they're really well received, then they become tradition the next year.
What's your favorite fun thing?
Oh, I like to do things like a pumpkin creme brulee or a pumpkin panna cotta. I liked putting a little different things into the stuffing that is kind of fun. But I, you know, like everyone else, you know, you like that green beans with the crispy onions on top, you know. So you have to kind of have a little bit of both. But I'm pretty traditional when it comes to Thanksgiving.
You know, you talk about family traditions. It's really funny. A few years ago, through a number of circumstances, we ended up having to have dinner at another, within the family, but outside of where we usually do. So my daughter was in visiting. So a couple days later, I put together our stuff, you know, with our pie and our stuffing. And you know, after dinner, she said to me, "Mom, thank you so much for making this dinner for me. This is what Thanksgiving is to me." And I can go home and I know that I've had my dinner. And it just really, I had no idea.
Yeah, it is amazing. People do evoke memories that have to do with smell. You hear about it all the time, and taste. And sometimes this is the only time of the year some people have turkey. And they don't really enjoy it the other time, or stuffing. And so when you start to say, you know, I'm going to look into a cookbook and I'm going to do what I saw on the Food Channel, and you start doing those things, you know, your kids are going to go, "Well, thanks, Mom. But, you know, I was really kind of looking forward to just what we'd had last year. I loved it." So you got to be careful.
Yeah.
Well, as someone who likes to experiment, and we'll have to tell you about my adventures with turducken that you'll hear about. What is the thing that people want the most from you when they come in? What's your best seller? What's the best thing that they want?
Well, during Thanksgiving, they want to know a lot about the turkey, and there are a lot of turkey choices out there. And what's becoming popular now is Amish turkeys, which we sell, which are fresh turkeys. They're kind of a free range, if you will, but most turkeys are free range, but there's no hormones and things of that nature. People are getting, now that they have expendable money, the economy's better, they're looking to upgrade their turkey this year.
Upgrade.
They're looking at things like kosher, which is a brined, as well as, you know, all natural. They're looking at the heritage turkeys now, turkeys that are specific breeds that go back to a time before modern Thanksgiving, and these heritage turkeys are becoming popular, and of course organic turkeys, which are fed with organic grain, which is more expensive because organic grains are more expensive. So people are now doing more investigating about their main platter, that turkey, and people ask us a lot of questions about that, and we have great turkeys, so it's easy to help them out. Other than that, they're pretty much looking at just slight twists on things, like using Yukon Gold potatoes instead of the traditional Idaho potatoes, or doing some new side dishes that they haven't tried before to add to their selection. Things with winter squash, for example, because, again, since it's kind of that time of the year where it's a lot of tradition and memories, people go back to things that are their roots, like winter squash, you know, that are old-fashioned kind of values of food. And people really like, and they upgrade their butter choices too, believe it or not. They start getting better butter. You know, when you go to a restaurant and you taste that butter, you go, "Wow, I can't get that, you know, at home."
Right.
Well, you can, and people start to think about upgrading things that they already love.
Sometimes the little things, right?
Oh, yeah.
Talk about stuffing, because when you talk about tweaking, you know, sometimes, although in our family, if I tweak the stuffing, there would be a riot in the streets. But talk about tweaking the stuffing, because sometimes you can add some things there. Give us some ideas.
Well, you can do Italian stuffing. Some people will do an Italian stuffing,
yay,
and they'll put inside of it Italian sausage and maybe some ground pork and some other seasonings beyond the traditional sage, like rosemary or fennel. Mm. So that's popular. Oyster stuffing is very popular with fresh oysters, bacon, fennel, garlic. That's a good choice, too. And then some people like to put in dried fruits, like an apple, walnut, apricot sort of stuffing with bread, of course, but they add the sun-dried dried apricots, maybe some walnuts, some green onions.
Dried cherries.
Dried cherries, exactly.
Oh, my God.
So there's lots of choices you can make like that.
I tell you, Pete, you should come with a warning label.
Yes.
Just like don't come in if you haven't eaten. Don't start a conversation with you if you haven't eaten. So forgive the drooling. But
I love it.
You know, I'm listening to this amazing discussion, and Marie gets all of this. So if you saw the two of us sitting here, she's quite attuned to what's going on. And my face is just perplexed because, you know, you're talking about turkeys and their culture and religion, Amish or not. And then you're talking about butter and what it's going to do. And then, you know, summer and winter squash. Well, can you save your summer squash until it's cold? I mean, oh, my God, there's just so much happening here.
There is a lot. And you know, it's becoming also very popular. And we go through trends. You remember a few years ago, everybody was talking about, I'm going to deep fat fry my chicken or my turkey or whatever.
Several
it was,
people
right?
blew up their houses.
Exactly.
Yes, I remember that.
And you're seeing less of that now. And not that people don't do that, but people did it for kind of an experiment, and maybe it did or didn't work, and they say, what am I going to do with this 2 gallons of oil left over now? What do I do with that, you know? Or I just made this investment in this big outdoor kind of a grill, and they're like, well, I don't want to not use it. I spent a lot of money for it. But after a while, maybe 2 years in a row, they've done it, and now they're on to something else. And the next newest thing that people are beginning to do is smoking their turkey.
Oh.
And that does require, generally speaking, an outdoor grill, and you're basically roasting it with a cover on your grill, but off to the side where you'll keep your heat or your coals, you're going to put a foil pouch of soaked wood chips that you're going to poke holes in. And so as it's cooking, it's also smoking a little bit.
Oh
so
my
that's
God.
Something new now that people are doing is grilling and smoking their turkey. I wouldn't recommend doing that with a large turkey, but I do recommend that people consider buying 2 small turkeys this year.
And doing it that way.
Doing one another way.
Well, Pete, we want you to hold on with us for just a minute. We want to take a quick break and then come back and ask you about desserts.
I'll be here.
Okay, don't move.
In the Mix with Marie and Rochelle. Here's Rochelle Riley.
We're talking with Pete Lorne, chef and director of culinary development at Nino Salvaggio International Marketplace. If you go to the website, don't go hungry. You have to eat before you even look at it. We're talking about Thanksgiving foods. I mean, some of this just expands beyond dinner. But I have to ask, because we had this discussion in my other newsroom, I'm from North Carolina, and in North Carolina, we have pig pickings.
Oh, yeah.
So you know what that is.
I have family in North Carolina.
You are
a
genius. Well, let me tell you. You take a whole pig. Well, first you have to dig a trench.
Oh,
then,
yeah.
And then you take a whole pig, and you put all of the, you know, the coals and stuff down, then put down the foil, and then you wrap him up, and then he just cooks all day. Oh. And when it's time for everybody to come and eat, you just go through and pull the meat right off the animal.
A pig roast, right?
That's synonymous with a pig roast. But let me tell you, they were talking about spits and equipment. This is just out in your yard. So I said, I want to have a pig picking, and one of the editors at the paper said, you're going to get arrested.
No, you're not.
No, you're not? Really?
You're going to burn down your neighborhood, and you're going to get arrested. He said, you cannot build a fire and do a pig picking. And I went, yes, I can. So can I, Pete, can I please have a pig picking?
If you wish, and I will send your Thanksgiving dinner to you in jail with a file. In the turkey. It'll be right there in the stuffing somewhere.
Okay, well, then I
won't do it.
Well, you
have to listen to your local authorities. So I don't know. If you live out in Metamora, you can do stuff like that. If you live in the heart of the city, of course, it's
you can't do hard.
Pete, I wanted to ask you something, because turkey dinner or Thanksgiving dinner is synonymous with a lot of leftovers. But I have to tell you, the best part of Thanksgiving dinner to me is the turkey carcass.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I was hoping you'd say yes, because I always tell people that and they go, what? I mean, we've actually had fights in the family over the carcass. Why? Because it makes the best soup broth.
Absolutely.
Hands down, ever.
You are right.
And can you talk about that? Because I want our listeners to hear this is a whole nother meal you have there with that bird.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of different things you can do with the carcass, the skeleton, the bones, if you will. If you pick all the meat off of it, it's great in soup. And there's a lot of gelatin and marrow and flavor in those bones. And what I do, going back to getting two turkeys, is sometimes I will buy a small turkey ahead of time. I will roast it a few days ahead, pull all the meat off of it, and slice it and have it ready for on the platter. Then I take that carcass and I make gravy from it. I will roast it to give it a little color, and then I will make gravy from it so that on Thanksgiving Day, I've got my gravy already made.
That is,
and it's
so smart.
Awesome.
Oh.
But soup is another great thing you can make with that carcass, and there's all sorts of great soups. But I also do, I'll pick off the meat, and I'll make things like little turkey stuffing corn croquettes, where I'll take some of the leftover stuffing, I'll take some of the leftover corn and the turkey, and I'll make it into like a little ball that you can deep fry or that you can bread with breadcrumbs. It's all sorts of cool things you can do.
That is awesome.
A lot of good things with leftovers.
Oh, that sounds so
good. You know what the best leftover recipe is?
What?
You take that cranberry jelly, and you put it in a blender with a little bit of Grand Marnier and vodka, and you make a cosmopolitan.
We're there.
Oh, my God.
We're there.
I've never heard of that before in my life.
Grand Marnier,
awesome.
Vodka, right?
And cranberry.
And the cranberry relish.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Grand Marnier, you got the best cosmo.
Oh, yeah, the orange. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Thanksgiving tonight.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
Well, you know, as promised, we want to talk a little bit about dessert, but I have to tell you, thank you so much for mentioning the carcass. Maria is always on top of these. I made the best turkey noodle soup ever because I got this recipe and decided to do everything from scratch. Took the carcass, did the big flat noodles. I mean, literally, from this recipe I got online.
Good.
It's the best thing I ever tasted.
It's
I couldn't believe I made it.
You can't buy stuff like that.
No, you can't.
You really can't, especially when you get those wide noodles and you get a really, really authentic turkey flavor from those bones.
It was great.
So good.
Well, let's talk about dessert. So I know that there are the traditional things. I'm not a fan of pumpkin, although our food writer did a pumpkin pie that had a brown sugar and pecan top.
Mine has the brown sugar, not the pecan.
Oh, my God.
That's a key ingredient.
I didn't want the pie
opinion.
Part, but I ate all the topping.
Yeah, the topping off,
But what's the best-selling dessert? Is it still pumpkin pie?
It still is pumpkin pie. Again, going back to tradition. And it's something that people sometimes, like turkey, only have once a year, so they do that. But more desserts are entering into the mix. It's not like just pumpkin pie now. Apple pie is very popular as well. And I mentioned earlier panna cotta, which is basically a very clean-tasting and gluten-free dessert because it's basically just half and half or cream, your pumpkin, your pureed pumpkin, no eggs. It is just scalded, and then it's set with gelatin, so it's very clean-tasting. It doesn't have that eggy sort of taste. It doesn't have a crust on it, and it's gluten-free, and that's very, very popular nowadays. People have their gluten issues, and they want to make sure there's something available for their family or friends, and that's a good alternative. Pumpkin ice cream is out there all the time this time of the year, right? And another thing you can do is to take pumpkin ice cream. This you can do well ahead of time. Just mold it or leave it in the container that it's in. Wrap it with pound cake of any kind, and then a meringue, and bake it like a baked Alaska, except it's pumpkin Alaska, and it's pumpkin ice cream. The kids love that. Another thing I like is using acorn squash instead of pumpkin. It tastes better.
You've got these great things with pumpkin, and there's a lot of them, but it is almost a requirement to be African-American in America that you have sweet potato pie.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So I don't know if there's a generic recipe. All the internet was abuzz with Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pies that Walmart started selling. I can make a sweet potato pie.
Yeah, I
but,
love
but
it.
Does anybody, you know, eat those? I mean, can you even buy those anymore?
Yeah, you can. And honestly, if you weren't to tell somebody it was sweet potato pie, they quite often wouldn't know.
Okay.
So close in flavor, just like acorn squashes, because they're all either winter root vegetables or winter squashes. And once you put the seasoning in it, and if you put brown sugar and honey in it, it pretty much is difficult to ascertain sweet potato, which is a little sweeter than pumpkin, from pumpkin if you just add a little bit more brown sugar to it.
All right. Well, Pete, Lauren, you've done your work here is done. You've made us all hungry. So thank you. We just enjoyed hearing your enthusiasm about this wonderful dinner. Thank you so much for joining us.
Great to be with you guys.
Marie, that was so fun. I'm hungry. We're going to go.
Yep, absolutely. Have a great Thanksgiving, Rochelle.
You too.